Welcome to the start of a new week here in the Morning Pit, youtube.com/pantolaircom. Been gone for a week. Appreciate everybody who, allowed us to take a week off from the Morning Pit while we were out of town, took our kids to the most magical place on earth. And I also appreciate everyone who actually watched the Friday video 2 weeks ago where I said that I was going to be gone for a week and actually knew to expect that it was going to be a week-long break in the Morning Pit videos. Still got a few messages. Hey, where are the videos? Well, you got to watch all the videos and then you get all the news and information. But anyway, gone for a week, missed a few games in there. I was gone last Saturday, so I didn't see the Florida State game. I was gone on Wednesday, so I didn't see the Wake Forest game. Or at least I wasn't in attendance for those games. Kept up with those games from afar. Made it back into town in time for Saturday's game against Miami. So a mixed bag throughout that stretch. And I kind of want to, I mean, there was a lot of stuff actually that happened last week. There was a new football commitment. There was, news on super seniors coming back and a few other things that I think are worth talking about on the football front. And obviously there's two basketball games as well. And we have all week this week to talk about those topics. I want to start with Saturday's game against Miami because not only was it one of Pitt's, it was probably Pitt's biggest challenge so far this season, and maybe you could probably make a case it was their biggest win of the season. Yeah, I think there might be some debate there. I mean, that Virginia win looms pretty large, but certainly Miami being ranked and one of those top teams in the ACC, and another one of those teams in the top 3, 4, 5 of the ACC, it gives you an opportunity to move up in the conference standings. That's exactly what Pitt did. So we're going to talk about that today, and I want to talk about that game. But I want to talk about it in the context of the season because I realized something watching that game on Saturday. And it's not the first time I've thought this about this particular team. I've had these thoughts for a while watching them at different points over the course of the season. But it really came back to me again, certainly in the final 98 seconds or so, the final 2 minutes or so of the game on Saturday. I found myself thinking about The Wire. You guys watch The Wire TV show on HBO back when there were TV shows on HBO, not just streaming, but actual TV shows. Cops and Robbers, Breakdown of the American City, blah, blah, blah. It's a cop show. And I always remember this one quote from The Wire in the first season. At one point, it seems like their case has gone dead and they've run out of leads and they have nothing new that's going to happen. There's nothing new that's going to come up. It's over. It's done. They are finished. And then something new breaks. And the one cop turns to the other cop and says, "This case has got legs, doesn't?" What does he say? This case has got legs, don't she? And I couldn't help but find myself thinking that at the end of that Miami game on Saturday. And it's not the first Pitt game I've thought that throughout the course of the season, where I just thought to myself, "Well, this team has got legs, doesn't it?" Now, they might not have legs if they keep having guys playing all 20 minutes of the second half and playing 35, 36, 37 minutes in a game. They might not have legs by the end of the season, but you know what I mean. I'm speaking more metaphorically, more poetically, that this team has legs. You just can't count this team out. Now, there have been points when you could. Certainly the Duke game, you could count them out. That Florida State game, they pulled away. The Clemson game, not so much. Some of the early games, West Virginia, Michigan, you could count them out. But since they hit their stride, which I would say, shortly before the start of the ACC schedule, conveniently, they just have, you can't really count them out of a game. Even in the games that they've lost, there have been points when they've been able to sort of battle back and make it competitive. And I mean, I was just looking over the course of the season. I mean, they had the Alabama State game, they were down 12. And I think at that point we were still worried about what this team was or who they were. But I mean, Carolina, they were down 9 at one point. Virginia led by 13 at one point. And then Miami had an 11-point lead several times, including somewhat late in the game. I think Miami's last 11-point lead on Saturday was at 51-40 with 13 minutes to go in the game, 13 and a half minutes. 11-point lead. And typically, I would think if you're down double digits in the second half in a conference game, your chances of coming back are probably pretty slim. Not impossible. And certainly we've seen it. Shoot, Pitt had a double-digit lead at Duke and ended up losing that game. So we know teams can come back from those deficits, but it's not easy to do. And it's not common, it's not typical, and it takes a certain type of team to be able to execute that kind of comeback. And this might be that kind of team. And we've talked all season about the attributes of this team, what makes up this team, and particularly as they've gotten good and as they've improved and settled into really being who they are, I think we've seen these things emerge. But there are some things about this team that just sort of, I think, uniquely position them to be able to come back like that and to never truly be out of a game. Even when they don't completely finish the comeback, they're never truly out of the games. And I think there's some broad assessments we can make about the team that feed into this, and they're very sort of specific things. I'm going to start on the specific end, because one giant reason that they're never really out of the game is Jamarius Burton. I mean, he is playing at such a high level, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that long ago. I shouldn't even say it like that. I mean, the reality is we've been talking about him like this all season. He has been in, you know, taking over games and controlling games for this team all season long. And, you know, whether it was the week, you know, the Wednesday when we did the live post game show right before I left. What game was that? I'm drawing a blank now. It was a game they won. It would have been the 18th. Oh, the Louisville game. No, it wasn't the Louisville game, because maybe the Georgia Tech game. I forget which game it was. But, Jamarius Burton just wasn't going to let Pitt lose that game and controlled that game. What struck me about Burton on Saturday in the Miami game is, first of all, he puts up a great stat line. 19 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals. He's 3 assists short of a triple-double. He has, second career double-double, and it's the second time it's happened in the last 4 games. I mean, he's just playing at an unreal level. But what was really remarkable to me about Jamarius Burton is what he did in the final 2 minutes, the final minute 33 by my notes, maybe final minute 38 by Pitt's official box score. Getting some background noise from the pups. What's remarkable to me is what he did in those final 2 minutes, what he did in that final 98 seconds, where he really kind of took over the game but didn't score a single point. He won the game but didn't score a single point. Now, we know Pitt went on an 11-0 run in the final 2 minutes, and obviously you have to make baskets to execute that, but you also need to play defense. And Burton, and I mean, I wrote it down because it was so remarkable to me, around the minute 30 mark or so, after Fetty Federico has the and one, he doesn't convert it, he doesn't make the free throw, but that cuts the lead to 68-62. They go down at the other end. I think it was Isaiah Wong misses a basket. Burton gets the defensive rebound down at the other end. Blake Hinson drains a 3, and now it's a 3-point game. Miami, Pitt calls a timeout after that 3. Miami comes out, missed basket. Burton gets another defensive rebound, comes down at the other end. Nelly Cummings hits a jump shot, makes it a 1-point game. The place is blowing up. And then you know what happened on Miami's next 2 possessions. Jamarius Burton made a pair of steals, stole a bad pass. And then on really the crucial possession, with Pitt leading 69-68, less than 20 seconds to go in the game, Isaiah Wong drives to the basket. And you knew in this play, you knew in this situation, Pitt knew, Miami knew, everybody in the building, they announced a crowd of 12,508. I don't know if there that many people were there, but every single person in the building knew Isaiah Wong was going to drive to the basket and try and win this game for Miami. And Burton knew that he had to stop it. That was his defensive assignment. He had to stop Isaiah Wong from scoring what would have been potentially a game-winning basket. Pitt's up by 1. Wong drives, and as he goes to shoot, Burton just straight up takes the ball away from him for a steal. Now, things got a little hairy with Greg Elliott's inbounds pass and all this stuff, but on 4 straight possessions, 4 consecutive possessions, Miami possessions, Jamarius Burton shut them down. 2 defensive rebounds and 2 steals. He single-handedly ended 4 consecutive possessions, over the course of which an 8-point lead turned into, or I guess a 6-point lead for Miami turned into a 1-point lead for Pitt. He didn't score a basket. he probably had one or two assists, but he had two rebounds and two steals that made the difference in the game. Jamarius Burton, in addition to his near triple-double, won the game without scoring a point. I mean, when a player is determined to win a game like that and has the ability to play at the level that Burton is playing, it's pretty tough to beat. It's pretty tough to win against. Yeah, not impossible. Pitt's not going to win out the rest of the way. They're not going to win the next nine games and go 24-7 or whatever it is. They're gonna have losses. You know, that was always the thing with the guy who can take over a game, the go-to guy. Well, I mean, you know, those teams still lose games, but make no mistake about it, Jamarius Burton is going to give Pitt a fighting chance in every single game. And then the other thing that really came through yesterday, or on Saturday, excuse me, and has come through, you know, for pretty much all season, is that the guys around Burton are pretty good too and pretty dangerous. And you can run through the starting lineup. I mean, Greg Elliott, who's on the screen there, Blake Henson, Federico had a great game on Saturday, and even Nelly Cummings. And Nelly Cummings is a bit of a whipping boy for Pitt fans, and I understand why. He was scoreless in the first half against Miami. Didn't put up a point. In the second half, though, Cummings had as much to do with the win as anybody. He played all 20 minutes. He shot 10 shots and only made four of them, but they were four huge baskets. His first basket was Pitt's first point. Well, I guess it was Pitt's second basket of the first half. He made a jump shot and followed it with a three-pointer that turned an 11-point lead into a six-point lead. Later, he had a drive that cut it, made it another six-point lead. And then he hit his fourth basket, like I said, to make the lead one, to go from 68-65. And you pull up jumper for 68-67. Nelly Cummings, as much as you want to maybe give him a hard time or say he's the weak link or he should get replaced by Nike Sabandi or anything like that, made four big baskets for Pitt in the second half. Blake Henson, 14 points in the second half, 5 of 9 from the floor, 4 of 8 from 3. Greg Elliott makes a 3 plus a couple of free throws. And then Federico, 4 points in the second half, 3 offensive rebounds. And an assist. Oh, and two blocks. They all came together. And what this team has, it's the components that we've talked about since the summer when we talked about how this team was built and how this team has come together and kind of the model that they're building on. We talked about two things. We talked about veteran guards and we talked about shooters. And what you're seeing with this team is that's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what's leading this team. The plan is working. The veteran guards and the shooters. You know, it's Burton and Cummings, and it's Hinton and Elliott. And these guys are leading the way. Now, that plan was expected to revolve around the bright center of the universe, which was John Hughley, and that hasn't happened. So Federico has had to step in, and I think you've seen progress and development from him almost game by game. But it's really about those senior guards, the veteran guards, and the shooters. And those guys give Pitt a chance in every game. You know, in this one, Pitt, first half, three-point shooting, 2 of 8. You know, after making a school record 18 against Wake Forest, they went 2 of 8 in the first half. Second half, 7 of 14. They didn't stop shooting. They didn't get worried about it. They didn't get concerned. They didn't panic. They kept playing their game. And they ended up making 7 threes in the second half because they're good enough shooters that those shots are going to fall. I always want to be careful about not overreacting to wins or losses. You know, losses aren't the end of the world. Losses aren't going to, old cliche, you're never as good as you look in your wins. You're never as bad as you look in your losses. And I always try and keep that in mind, particularly when you're talking about college basketball teams going to play 30 games. There are going to be ups and downs throughout the course of the season. But after 20 plus games, we're now, 22 games in, that's a pretty large sample size. And I think we can say fairly definitively that this team's plan and approach is a pretty successful one. And that's in terms of the roster makeup, but it's also in terms of the way they play and how they approach the games. And I'll be the first to admit, when I'm watching it sometimes, I say, what the hell are they doing? You know, another quote that pops into my mind every now and then is Apocalypse Now. And I forget exactly the dialogue between Marlon Brando and Martin Sheen, but Brando says something like, they say my methods are insane. Do you find my methods to be insane or something along those lines? And Martin Sheen says, I don't see any method at all. And there are times, and I thought this was just early in the season, but it's still kind of throughout the course of the season. There are times where I'm finding myself saying, I don't see any method at all. I'm not sure what are they attempting to do here on offense? Is the plan really just to dribble around until the shot clock gets under 10 and then hope that someone can drive? And sometimes I actually do think that is the plan. Even when it doesn't look like a plan, I think that actually is the plan. Now, I'm not sure if that's a healthy plan. I'm not sure if that's a sustainable plan, but this team has found a way to make it work. And again, a big part of it is Jamarius Burton. You know, if it's Burton who's dribbling at the top of the key until the clock gets down to 9 or 8 seconds and then he just tries to drive, well, that's not the worst plan because he can do a lot of things in that situation. He can drive to the basket. He can pull up for a jumper. He can kick it out to an open shooter, or he can draw a foul. I mean, he's pretty good at all of those things. They can be frustrating to watch. But more and more, and again, 22 games in, it's pretty much working. And, you know, you come out of the Wake Forest game, you say, okay, they barely squeaked by Wake Forest at home and they needed a school record 18 three-pointers to win it. They're not going to be able to do that every night. That's true. They're not. And then, you know, this Miami game on Saturday, they go on an 11-0 run to close the game and end up winning. You say, well, they're not going to be able to do that every night. And that's true. They're not. But what they have been able to do, and what they continue to do, and what they've pretty much been doing for the last 15 games or so, is finding ways to win. And whether they were falling behind against Alabama State or, you know, falling behind against Virginia, they found ways to win. When they're at Carolina, or I guess they had Carolina at home, the day of the Sun Bowl, right? They found a way to win. Against Wake Forest, they needed to make 18 three-pointers. They did it. They found a way to win. Against Miami, they needed to come back from an 11-point deficit multiple times. They needed to go on an 11-0 run over the final 2 minutes. They needed to make 7 three-pointers in the second half, which isn't really that far off the pace that they had, you know, to get to 18. And they did it. They found a way to win. They've got crafty players who can find ways to win. And I think there are a lot of things that grow into that. I think there are a lot of things behind it. Jeff Capel talks about how all they really want to do is win, that they're, you know, there's not a lot of ego on the team. They all just care about each other and want each other to win. They want Pitt to have the glory. This is what he said on Saturday. They want Pitt to have the glory because they know they'll get individual glory out of it. And I think I believe some of that. You know, I don't think you see a lot of selfish play on this team. When Jamarius Burton takes the ball and just tries to make something happen, it's because that's what is best for the team at that point. You know, I don't really even see, you know, for as much as this team shoots threes, I don't really see them being selfish in doing so. I don't have a problem with Greg Elliott firing up threes or Blake Hinson firing up threes. And even to some extent, Nelly Cummings. But I mean, Hinson and Elliott have made enough this season that they're doing what's in the best interest of the team. You don't see a lot of selfishness on the court. You don't see a lot of hero ball, except for when it's necessary, which is, you know, Jamarius Burton has earned the right to be the hero a little bit. But again, you look at his stat line, 19, 10, and 7. And you say, well, he was being the hero by rebounding, scoring, and getting the ball to his teammates. It's a unique group. It's the kind of team we haven't seen at Pitt in a long time, and they're having success that we haven't seen at Pitt in a long time. 8-3 in the ACC so far. That is tied for the third most wins in conference play since they joined the league. First, that first Pitt team went 11-7. The next year they went 8-10. The year after that they went 9-9. Over the next three seasons, they won 7 ACC games total. They went 4-47, and then they've won 6 each of the last 3 years. So treading in, you know, somewhat fresh ground. You know, they haven't really been in this position in quite some time. And, you know, given the look of the league and given the look of how this team plays and what their strengths are and what they do well and how they just seem to find ways to win, I don't really see a reason they should slow down. You look at the rest of their schedule and there's some challenging games again. They have to play FSU again. They have to go on the road to do it. They're going to have to play Miami again. They're going to have to go on the road to do it. This game on Wednesday night at Carolina is going to be a challenge. So there'll be losses out there. But there's no reason this team can't win 12, 13 ACC games. You know, they should be able to push past the 20-win mark. This is an NCAA tournament team. And they are because of how they're built, their makeup, individually and in the as the roster overall, and their ability to find ways to win. They have strong leadership, they have veteran guards, and they have shooting. It's a great combination, and you end up getting some of the most fun Pitt basketball we've seen in a long, long time. So it was a good weekend for Pitt in that regard. We'll have a lot to talk about, of course, this week as we move through the build-up to the Carolina game on Wednesday. We'll have a post-game show after that one right here on youtube.com/PantherLaircom. Make sure you like this video and subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss any of our exclusive Pitt video content right here at youtube.com/PantherLaircom. You don't want to miss any of these daily morning Pitt videos. You don't want to miss any live streams that we do. We do our live show every Wednesday night at 8:30, but this week we'll just wait and go live after the Pitt-Carolina basketball game. We'll come here to talk about it. Whether it's a win or a loss, we'll see what the game brings. We'll have a conversation. But I appreciate everybody watching the video today. Thanks for giving me the week off last week. It's good to be back and talking about Pitt again. We'll have a lot of talk this week on football stuff, basketball stuff, and anything else that goes on in the world of Pitt right here on The Morning Pitt. So thanks again. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope your week gets off to a great start today. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning for The Morning Pitt right here on youtube.com/PantherLaircom.